praise the Lord. Amen. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Ain't it good to be the house of the Lord this morning? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them with the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is. Brother, play some more of that. Let's sing a little more.
Just as free, for the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul. Now the Comforter abides with me.
I want you to sing it with all your heart. He abides. He abides.
Hallelujah.
He abides with me. Well, I'm rejoicing night and day. As I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit this morning while we look at our prayer request. Brother Daniel, if you'll get ready this morning, lead us to the Lord in prayer. Brother West wants you to know this. The teen and the young adult fellowship meeting will be at the Johnson City Memorial Community Center. That's on Friday evening from 6 until 9 p.m. That's this coming Friday, I guess, Brother West. So remember that. That's at the Johnson City Memorial Community Center on Friday from 6 until 9. So remember that. I want to pray for James Rogers, Nate Adams, Ashley Williams. They all need a touch from the Lord this morning. So let's remember those folks as we pray. Brother Samuel offers a testimony that he appreciates the assembly and what they mean to him. And well, we appreciate each other, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Please submit an urgent, unspoken prayer request for Hope Matty. Thank you so much. God bless Sister Tamika sends that in. So let's remember that need today as we pray. We want to pray for Sister Martha Sacker. Sick this weekend, needs healing. Let's remember her. Sister Sharon Binkley had a reaction to an antibiotics causing her a lot of pain. Please pray that the pain will leave and all will be well. So let's remember her as we pray today. Brother Gene Littleton says, I would like to request prayer for a friend of my son who is in the hospital due to be unplugged from the ventilator this morning. Please pray for his soul and his family. So let's remember that need as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation. Sister Michelle Swafford says to please pray for my uncle Ron Emanuel. Just found out that he has cancer in the colon. They're doing surgery on him tomorrow, which is Monday. Also pray for my dad, Greg Emanuel. He is having migraine headaches. Keeps cutting his vision off. So we want to pray for that need today. The Lord will be mindful. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about this morning. We just commit these things unto the Lord. Remember the sick folks in our assembly. The Lord will be mindful of them also. Let's continue. Remember Brother Rocky Ward, Sister Daisy Rice, all the Ward family, that the Lord would still comfort their hearts and be with them during this time of their life, that God will just embrace them and put his arms around them. I believe he's more than able to do that, don't you? Let's stand to our feet this morning, Brother Daniel. God bless you. We appreciate you, buddy. Love Brother Daniel Nunley, don't we? Amen.
Amen. You know, we just started. How's things going to be? They're wondering about the new president we got. Wondering about the job situation. Wondering about where we're going in poverty or prosperity. But I'll tell you one thing that's for sure. That's Hebrews 8:13, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't never change. Amen. Let's take these needs to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to be in this service today. Thank you for letting us live on this side of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, because we know that you supply all of our needs from day to day. God, that you keep us when nobody else could. And God, we just praise you for this service. Thank you for our pastor, Brother Donnie. Help us, oh God, that we'll get rid of that old cockerbird's nature. And God, that we'll have your nature in our life. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'll take these requests, these needs, and that you'll move for them today, Lord Jesus. God, some of the names that we might miss, Brother Mike Pierce, God, we know he's in bad shape. I pray that you'll move for our brother, Sister Linda Kennedy, different ones. But God, we know that you know all about them. God, we commit them unto you today, Heavenly Father. Pray that you'll bless this service, anoint the service and the servant. Keep us in your divine will. God, those over the internet, be with them, different countries, whoever they may be, knowing that your hands are not too short, your ears are not too heavy. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this service. Move now in Jesus' name. We give you the praise. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor in the service today with us, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that would be streaming this service today, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. To sum up the message last night that we heard, I'm glad he's still working on me. Are you still being worked on? You get took to the potter's wheel quite often. And you know what? We need it, don't we? Get all these burrs, all these rough edges off of us. We're going to be good people before long. We really are. He's still working on me. I want Brother Joel, Brother Chuck, Brother Harry to get ready to do that song for us. Through the fire, Brother Joel, you come onto the platform. But let's just sing a little bit of that chorus this morning as they get ready to lead us all in a congregational song. He's still working on me. Don't sing it just because it's got a catchy little tune, but sing it because he's still working on me. I promise you he's working on me. I know he's working on me. Praise the Lord. Let's sing about it this morning. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Oh, he's still a working. Now I want you to sing it like you believe it. He's still working on me. Sing it. Oh, you're believing it, I believe. Oh, how loving and patient he must be, for he's still working. One more time. Oh, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. If you believe that, somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Now these guys sing this song about every time we call on them up here. And I know that they're going to learn us anew and here soon. I just know they are. But until they do, I love to hear them sing this song. They can't nobody beat them when they sing this. And let's just join in and help them through the fire. You're being took through it. But I'm going to tell you what, you'll be brought out on the other side and you'll be as pure as gold. Aren't you glad about it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Let's help these brothers sing.
Well, so many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. And as I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire weakness is made strong.
Never promised that the cross would not be heavy and your heel would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again.
I know within myself that I would surely God, His shield, the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you the fire again.
I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the mighty hand of God, He'll seal the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again.
I know within myself I would surely, if I trust the hand of God, He'll seal the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision
adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again.
So just hold on. Our Lord will show up,
and He will take you through the fire again.
I like to help them sing it, don't you? God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Sister Phillips, if she'll come onto the platform. Brother Joel, you and Sister Anna and Sister Cindy have a song. If you don't want to just stay up here, buddy. Brother Joel, you want to just stay up here? Yeah, he don't listen to me. Give our singers and I say, God bless them. Praise the Lord.
My mama and daddy talked about going home since I was just a babe on their knee. They said that nothing compared to what's waiting up there, how one day we will finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, but I keep on believing it'll be a place like I've never known. I keep my eyes on the sky, cause my soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go.
Answer when I pray with you. He let me see the dark before the light. And I can kneel with the brother who is bearing a burden and say, I know just what you're going through. And I can pray with a sister in the midst of her sorrow and say, I know because I've been there too. I can put my arms around someone who is down and tell them to have faith and confidence. What in pain I could not see, I now fully believe God prepared me for such a time as this. You may be praying for rescue. You are facing temptation and trial. Struggles are endlessly present, but the purpose is somewhere in God's time. So just keep on walking the good road. Night leads to a stronger, wiser day. And when you ask the reason for the path you have to ride, you'll know without a doubt, and you can say, I can kneel with a brother who is bearing a burden and say, I know just what you're going through. And I can pray with a sister in the midst of her sorrow and say, I know because I've been there too. I can put my arms around someone who is down and tell them to have faith and confidence. What in pain I could not see, I now fully believe God prepared me for such a time as this.
And I can put my arms around someone who is down and tell them to have faith and confidence. What in pain I could not see, I now fully believe God prepared me for such a time as this. God prepared me for such a time as this.
This morning, don't we? Amen. God bless our singers. Let's stand, if you will. It's time to go on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. Are you glad you crossed over that line? How many of you are glad about it? Well, the rest of you are going to get there, I promise you. You'll be glad one day that you crossed over. How many of you are really glad that you crossed over the line? Well, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Yes, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line
my sin dark as night. Satan was standing between my soul and the light. But Jesus gave me light to shine when he saved this soul of mine. I'm glad I crossed over in time.
Crossed over the line, that line that separates darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over time. Praise the Lord. Thank God for grace to cross over in time. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Let me emphasize again the meaning of the word believeth so you don't have a misunderstanding of it. It's not someone who just says they believe Jesus is the Son of God. But the word believeth is relative to pistis, which is committing your trust, ultimate trust in this individual that you say that you believe in. How can overcome paragraph 71? If the little baby keeps trying, he's talking about a baby or a child trying to put a coat on. Oh, I can do it. I can do it. He's just everywhere. He can't do it. Neither can you. Neither can I. But if we'll just hold still and let him do it, just yield to him. Just yield to him. Brother Donnie, that is so simple and so hard to do.
That's right.
Just yield to him. Here, Lord, here I am. Just let me be nothing. I yield. You put my hand in the right place. That's the victory. So the victory is not getting the coat on. The victory is yielding and letting God put the coat on you. That's the victory. That's the overcoming. You say, that don't make any sense. Let me read the rest of the quote and it will. The thing you have to overcome is yourself. Yourself. Your idea. Your thing. And surrender yourself to him. He overcome for you. He knows the way. We don't. Can we say amen to that? Can we really say amen to that? I do not know the way to heaven. You do not know the way. God had to give us the way and make a way for us. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we love you so much today. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace and mercy to us. We want to thank you, dear God, for the unfathomable love that you have given to our hearts. For the great mercies that have been extended to us beyond anything that we could ever deserve as far as humanity is concerned. Lord Jesus, we pray that you'd take your word today and help us. May we be able to yield our human instrumentality into the presence of God. I pray, Father, that you would take this part of yourself which you've placed in me and anoint it, Lord. Help Donnie Reagan to be able to move aside. I know a man can only preach according to the gift that's in him. And according to the gift is how much that he'll be able to get out of the way. And if a man has a 60% gift, then it'll be a 60-40 value. And if a man has a 75%, 75-25, 85-15, on and on. Lord, I don't know exactly what mine is, but I pray that you would help me. That I can be able to get out of the way as much as I can. so that the gift of God can be used here today. Then, Lord, we know that our faith is that which comes from you, so the saints here must also get out of the way in order to be able to pull on the gift of God. So it's you speaking through me. It's also you hearing through them and responding back. And anything that will be accomplished out of the service, we'll have to give praise and credit to you, for it was you that did it. Speak to us today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I know this seems a little bit strange and peculiar that we would somehow, with all of our abilities and all of our gifts and all of our talents and all the things that we can do, and to somehow think that all of those are not usable somehow in God's eyes. Now, by natural genetics and natural chromosomes, the mixing together of your mother and your father, that was your DNA that was handed to you. But your strain and your nature can come from a grandpa, a grandfather, a grandmother, an aunt, an uncle. Some of you might surpass, basically by intelligence and intellect, most everybody in your family. And everybody's wondering, how did he come so smart? And you're the cream of the crop in your family. And everybody just looks at you as the brightest, weeest kid that ever was. And you think you're just so intelligent. And then God saves you. God wants to do something with you and for you. Then it's the human tendency to take what we have received by genetics or by makeup or by even human application to study and apply ourselves. And then we want to bring that to God, so we have all of these tools. This is a guitar pick. You can't see it, but this is a guitar pick. This is a special screwdriver right here. Now, both of all, you know that both of these now are screwdrivers. This is a Phillips and this is a flat. This one is a more general application. But all of these things that I have in my hand are tools or instruments. The definition of an instrument is a tool or something that which is used in a person's hands. Now, the difference is, and our approach today that we want to look at it, is that the difference between us and this screwdriver, per se, is, so if I have something here today that's tore up, now this JBL speaker here, the front of it comes off by about 12 or 14 Phillips screws on the top. If I want to access the back of it in order to go inside of here, it has a tube and whatever more in the back, powered amplifier that's in there, I can do exact same thing. But now what if I take this screwdriver and do this and tell the screwdriver, I want you to remove this front panel so I can get into this speaker. Now I can leave that screwdriver there until it rusts. I can leave it there until the JBL is totally decayed and rotten. And the screwdriver will never be able to take itself and be able to remove one screw. Yet, a man who has intellect and intelligence can be able to take and do this with a few screws of his brilliant left hand. Ah, voila. So who had the intelligence? The screwdriver or the man? But yet, let me try as hard as I will to remove those screws with my brain. Let me try to remove those screws with my fingers. Let me try to do it with my eyes. Let me grit. What about if I grunt? What if I use my groaning ability? I've got to have the right tool or the right instrument, right? But now what makes this so wonderful to me is that the tool itself cannot do any of it because it is not made with intelligence. Now this is what gets us as humans in trouble, is that with our gifts and our abilities and our intellect and all that we have, then we always feel like that we have something that we can input to the program of God to make the program of God just a little bit better. Now this screwdriver doesn't have a brain. It does not have a soul. It does not have a spirit where it can reason. It has no intellect by which it can think. Now, if I try to take this little screwdriver right here, which is designed for a special application, That application is, and I'm able to open this body pack right here, and there's a very, very tiny, small set screw inside of this body pack. It's also usable also on the inside of one of these wireless receivers up here on the back or over here. Now, it's so designed to where you don't need a screwdriver this big, but you've got to have one specifically to fit the right thing. Now, you know, God does His economy the same way. It's the same way with preachers and singers and musicians and all of that. And if each of us can be able to find the spot that God wants us, and God, we allow God to take and apply us for the particular position that He wants us to be in, oh, how the economy of God would flow so beautifully. But what if this screwdriver now become a message person? Now, we'll take the screwdrivers made in China, no doubt, where most everything comes from anymore. Made in China. Now, we'll say this screwdriver, it would get an intelligence, and it got saved all of a sudden, and it wound up in a message church. Now, the screwdriver is a message screwdriver. Now he believes the seals, and he believed God sent a prophet, and he's so smart, he tells preachers what they ought to do. He's so smart, he tells you how you ought to do this and that and the other, and man, if you don't believe him, just read his Facebook stuff. I mean, he knows how everything ought to operate, or she, because now the screwdriver's got some intelligence. And it's got some motive and some objective and some desire to be able to present to itself, it is a screwdriver with a brain. So every time I go to try to pick up the screwdriver, now the screwdriver has a will of its own. It has an intellect. It has an ability. So I need to remove a screwdriver out of the sump pump down where my lower level is at the house, out walking out the back door, and there is a little tiny small spot there where the rain comes down over my driveway, and there is a sump pump which sits in a little small place that Brother Charles Garvin set there years ago when we built our house. Occasionally, I have to take that sump pump out. It is nasty, filthy, and it stinks. Because it catches all the debris off the driveway. So whenever I'm cleaning it, whatever more, so I need a screwdriver. But this is a clean, as you can see, pristine screwdriver. So I go in and I grab this screwdriver off of the wall. And whenever I do, it says, what are you doing with me? I think, Lord have mercy. I'm going to ask you right now, don't tell me. You are heading toward that sump pump. You've got that sump pump look on your face. You don't mean to tell me you're fixing to stick me down in that sump pump area and get all that gum and that mess. Oh, don't you see how clean I am? What in the world is the matter with you? Get that other screwdriver there. He's older than me. He's wore out. He's got scratches on him and scars on him. Don't you dare stick me down in that mess.
Well, first of all, I was wondering if I could sell that talking screwdriver. And then I'd come to my senses and I'd think, you smart aleck. Now I'm going to tell you why God don't do that to you and I. Mercy. We argue with him, we debate with him, we fuss with him, we tell him how he ought to run his program, we tell him how much greater we are than what he thinks we are, and still he don't throw us away. Is that grace or what? Now, you know, whenever we think about being used of God, I don't think there's a child of God here today that doesn't want to be used for the kingdom of God. Let's look at this in Perfect Strength, paragraph 155. He said, well, brother, I can preach. He can't use that as long as you can preach. That's all right. I can do this. I can do that. But if you yield yourself to God and let him do it, you say, well, Brother Branham, I know I'm a teacher. Well, as long as you're the teacher, why, you won't go very far. But the Holy Spirit is our teacher. You come and say, now, Lord, I've been schooled for 40 years. I'm an intellectual student. I can quote that Bible with my eyes closed. And God can't use a bit of it. Now, you imagine, how in the world could a man, a prophet of God, say such a thing? That a man could close, he could quote his Bible with his eyes closed. But watch now, he's building on a platform. And he says, oh, I belong to the biggest church there is in the country, and I'm this and I'm that, Lord. I'm a Pentecostal. Glory to God. I just received the Holy Ghost the other night. Hallelujah. You're going to make me do so and so. God can't use a bit of that. You mean God can't use a man getting the Holy Ghost? That ain't what he's saying. Listen carefully. Watch now how he brings all this up to one consensus that it lays in the attitude. God can't use a bit of that. No, whenever you get licked, don't you love that theological term? When you get licked and you realize you're licked, oh my, and you come back and humble yourself and get weak and find out you're human. Now, can God use our memory and our ability to quote scripture and quote the word? Sure. Can God use the Holy Ghost? Sure. As long as we've got the right attitude and it is a gift from God. But if we discipline ourselves and we apply ourselves and we learn how to do it and we learn how to do that, and boy, we've got so much effort into it. As long as we have all of that, there is always the tendency for us to be able to inject our own feeling, our own desire, our own motive, our own purpose in what we remove. Don't you dare pick me up and put me next to no sinner. Don't you dare pick me up and use me in some type of something other. That is beneath me. Really? Oh my, y'all sure is quiet this morning. Now watch this. There's none of your intellectuals that can do it. Human weaknesses will never be used of God. But the human weaknesses, listen to this, the human weaknesses can never be used by God. But God, by the human weaknesses, pours himself into you. Then he uses himself. This is not just a preacher. This is every layperson. Now, I'll tell you, friends, I'm giving you a great sequence this morning of those that's going to go in the rapture. You're not going to be dumbfounded because this message is not going to be so deep, and you're not going to have a great rocket scientist to help you understand it this morning. As a matter of fact, a school child will be able to walk out here today with understanding if they'll allow it. But it will be the kind of thing that will change your life forever if you'll allow it to. Because we need to understand, it is not by our power, it is not by our might, it is not by our determination alone, our strengths, our great abilities, that we will overcome this age and its evils, but it is by the power of God that lives within us. We will never overcome ourselves even with our own will. Because the human will is a very strong thing, we know that. But God does not want you to set your human will against the unregenerate part of you, which is what we call the flesh. God will never allow you to overcome just by your human will. But he wants to overcome by using what he puts in you, and it brings everything subject to his own program. There will be not one man, woman, boy, or girl that will ever stand in the presence of God and have a right to brag about ever being there. I don't care how much you prayed, how much you preached, how much you've read your Bible. If we ever walk down streets of gold, it will be by the grace and the mercy of God. If you ever overcome yourself and the bride will, it will be by the grace and mercy of God. My, notice this. God, by the human weaknesses, pours himself into you. Then he uses himself. You just become an instrument. A guitar pick. Now, guitar pick, what I'd like for you to do, Brother Tim has a red one here stuck in the guitar, but I kind of like this one here myself. So, what I'm going to do, guitar pick, is I'm going to put you right there in those strings. Now, I would like for you to play for us Amazing Grace. Now, I don't like people to delay on the platform, so hurry up, okay? You're taking my time. So here we have an instrument, a guitar. We have another tool or instrument here. One here. We have another instrument, a cable. We have a little sound box here. We have monitors. What's missing, guitar? What is your problem? You are a Fender Stratocaster. What is your problem?
The pick has no intelligence. The pick has no mind. Neither does it have rebellion or stubbornness or hard-headedness. Or I think, or I believe, and this is what I get in my mind, and I think this, and I don't like that, and I don't like... You see, it is exactly what the prophet identified, that God wants us to be as his people, and that is a soulless instrument. An instrument by which one who has the ability. Now look across this platform here with the different musical instruments that we have. And there's several different people here in the congregation that can play the piano and play the guitar and play the organ. And every one of those people would make it sound different because of their own personal ability or talent or gift that they have. So every one of them would sit down. So in the sense of looking at it, the guitar, the organ, the bass, the drums, the piano, every one of them in one sense is in a neutral state. The piano itself, as beautiful as it is and nice as it is, but yet it cannot play itself. And yet there's when I record down in Nashville, down the studio down there in Oak Tree, there is a twin to this piano sitting right there in the recording studio, which costs multiple thousands of dollars, exact same model as this one. And yet when that man comes in there and sits down, the guy that I use, he makes it sound totally different than Brother Larry. And whenever Otis Forrest would sit down on it, or some great pianist would sit down on it, it would sound totally different. Why? Because the instrument itself is designed and made for a certain thing. The harmonics and the keyboard and everything the way that it is, the soundboard of using a particular type of wood and the strings that are stretched across, all of that is beautiful. All the mechanics of it being there, and yet the piano itself cannot play itself. If we could ever realize as Christians that we cannot live a Christian life without Christ every day of our lives, we are failures. When preachers get to a place that they think because they preach for so long and they have so many years of experience, they no longer need the anointing, they are on their way out. I've been preaching since I was an 18-year-old kid. I hope and pray to God I never get to a spot I think I don't need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I hope Happy Valley don't never get to a spot we think we can have church without the Holy Ghost. I hope Brother Louie don't never get to a spot he thinks he knows how to lead the singing. I hope these musicians don't never get to a spot they think we don't need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. Happy Valley, you need the Holy Ghost to live this word. We need the Holy Ghost to take a rapture. We've got to have it. I want you to look at the neutrality of instruments as the neutrality of your human body. A black man could walk up here and sit down on that organ. You white folks would be passed out in 5 minutes. You couldn't handle it. Some other message church, a message guitar player walk up here and sit down and our mouths would all drop open. Wow, listen to that guy. But yet the instrument itself is totally neutral. That man may use a lot of the lower strings and the high G's and the high E's plumb on the lower end down there. Or me and Brother Tim or someone else that never even go. Or he may prefer the deeper strings. He may like the E and the A and the D and whatever more. But the instrument itself cannot say, don't do that to me. I don't like it when somebody tickles my lower E. It really makes me nervous. The instrument is so neutral that it cannot hold back. So if someone would come in here whenever we're not having church and pick up that guitar and go to playing some rock and roll, the guitar itself cannot say, don't do that, quit that. I'm sanctified to play only the gospel music of God. So the instrument itself is neutral. Like your body. Your body can look at the word. Your body can look at good things. Or these eyes can look at things they shouldn't look at. Come on now, don't you get quiet on me. The neutrality of your hands can pick up things that are beneficial, or they can also obey the lust of the flesh and get into things they shouldn't get into. Oh my. Notice this, the prophet said, then he uses himself and you just become an instrument. Well, let me give you the definition of instrument, a tool or a device used for a particular purpose.
a tool or a device used for a particular purpose. Now, which do you think would be most fitting if I'm going to sit down and play Amazing Grace for you folks on this guitar? Which tool do you think I should use? You tell me. Really? Now, you think it'll offend the screwdriver if I don't use it? If it was a message screwdriver, it would. Now, is this going to be used more frequently to play that instrument? Really? So this is going to have a problem if it's in the message. Because it's used more. You see, it's the same with preachers, that God will gift preachers, and maybe God gives some to go out and be used more than others. Then those who aren't used, they will tend to fight and stand against it, and the bottom line for a lot of it is absolute jealousy. That's all you can say. Well, I'm not a big name, big name, big name, big name. There's only one big name among us that I know of, and that's the Lord Jesus. All the rest of us are His human instruments, but can we help it if God has designed our life? Now, this is a very, very small thing. This is very small, made out of nylon, 0.30 or something like that, whatever thickness that you like to use, but yet it is a very small thing. If I don't have this when I pick up that guitar and I finger pick that guitar, it's going to sound totally different than it will with this. The brightness of the strings will not be the same as it did in it with the resonance of my fingers. It's the same way with the gospel. We can hand out books and we can hand out tapes all we want to, but God is looking for humans, not just preachers, but humans by which He can make this message alive in our hearts. Then we become the pick by which the great divine one Himself takes our life and rakes it across the strings and brings a brilliance and a brightness. Oh, hallelujah! That books alone will never produce. Why? Because of an instrument. An instrument. Oh, but for us Christians to become like this. My, what I would give today if I could be like this. Y'all are looking at me like I'm really strange. Have I got something on my face? People who are like this in God are giants. The mystery about it is nobody may never know. Their name may never be heralded, but it is people who have learned how to submit to God. Now, do they fight their humanity? They do. God uses them occasionally whenever He wants them, does whatever He wants to do, and they just bow their head and said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you could use them," and they just go on. Brother Brim said that the old guy that works there, he takes his dinner bucket, puts it under his arm. God goes out and does something out of the man's life. He said people don't even know nothing about it. God just does it out of his life, and he just goes on and lives his life. Why? Because he is just a simple instrument, another instrument, one that we all use, one that is very, very important. And yet this instrument, now let me just take and lay it down over here on a piece of paper and tell this instrument, I'd like for you to write a letter to Jesus. Now what I want you to do is I want you to be able to dictate my words. I want you, pencil, here's a pencil and a piece of paper. I'm going to push it out because I know you have no fingers. I'll do that for you. So I'm going to put this out now. What I want you to do is I want you to write this letter for me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want you to know today that I love you so very much. You mean everything to me. I was lost and you found me so many times. You've redeemed me and you've helped me when I was so low I didn't know what to do. Lord Jesus, I just wanted to pin you a note today and just to let you know once again what you mean to me. You're everything to me. I couldn't live without you. I couldn't. Pencil? What is the matter with you? Those were great poetic words. What is... Look what it wrote. But let me help it. I love Jesus. Amen. So really, what good is the instrument?
without an intelligence? What good are we, really? All of our money, all of our ability, all of our ability to sing and play and preach and run and jump and shout and do this and that and the other. What good are we, brother? If he don't take us up in his hand, we can't even do that. We can't even do that, Brother Phil, to please him. Vanity and humanity would get even mixed up in that. When are we ever going to realize we can't even click ourselves right with the right attitude? It takes a divine mercy and the grace of God to be able to pick us up. I'm not talking about you getting saved. I'm talking about after we are saved, that the Spirit of God is able to take us into His hands and use us as an instrument that would articulate and reflect divine words of mercy to others. Why? Because God chose to use human instruments. This wonderful. Writing checks, writing bills, writing letters. But it wouldn't sound good to play the guitar with it. This was really, really nice for playing a guitar, but you'd have a hard time writing a check with it. Praise the Lord. Now I have in my hands a set of keys. These keys are to my desk. Now, if I had letters or something that was personal, you know, people asking me private things, and I wouldn't really want anyone else to know about because I want to protect their privacy. I have the ability to be able to take those letters that I had printed out or whatever more and stick it inside of my desk and turn this key, and it will lock it up. It will keep it from the prying eyes of those that really do not need to read about it. Could I unlock that desk with this guitar pick? Could I unlock it with this Phillips screwdriver? Could I unlock it with this ballpoint pen? I could not. Could I unlock it with this little small plastic screwdriver which operates my backpack and my receiver? I could not. Each one of these are designed for a specific purpose. Does it do any good for the key to be jealous of the ink pen, or the ink pen to be jealous of the screwdriver, or the screwdriver to be jealous of the guitar pick? Oh, how glad I am for the things of application. How glad I am when sweat runs down my face the way it is now, runs into my eyes, and the salt gets in my eyes, and my eyes go to burning the way they are right now. I'm glad I don't have to do this. How glad I am for this. This feels so nice and so soft and so comfortable to my face. Why? It's designed for that. Can this take this's place? Can this take this's place? Can you take somebody else's place, or them take yours? Can this preacher replace that one? Lord, children, when are we ever going to grow up and let God place us where He wants us and just be happy serving God? Oh, my. Notice this. The prophet said, you've got to get yourself out of the way. Now watch. I love how he brings this in this sermon to the Lord Jesus, the greatest of all examples, in paragraph 319. And Jesus had stood against the evil, stood against those organizations and against those Pharisees, and became weak. Jesus became weak. Brother Donnie, you're stripping us down. Well, we look like a bunch of weaklings. Glory. Glory. Jesus became weak and submitted himself unto death and died like a sinner on the cross. Had power to raise the dead, heal the sick, multiplication of fishes and loaves, and do all kinds of great things. But he couldn't use that when it came to defeating death. He must defeat death in weakness. Which one of his powers did he use in the Garden of Gethsemane to defend himself? When they lied on him and accused him falsely and done all kinds of things and smacked him in the face and pulled the beard out of his face. What did he use in the Garden of Gethsemane on himself? Nothing on himself.
But one of his preachers gets all mad and all bent out of shape and cuts the servant, high priest servant's ear off. And Jesus walks over and picks up that ear and sticks it back on the side of his head. I've often wondered how that old boy looked at himself in the mirror every day and couldn't thank God for the restoration of his ear. How could that man carry out his duty and crucify the Lord Jesus? But instead of him using his power for himself, he used his power to heal his enemy. Why? He learned submission. Can we do that, church? What if God entrusted you today with the power of the spoken word of the third pull, and what you said for 5 days would come to pass? Lord, have mercy. Notice this, Lord God. Jesus dying, holding the word, submitting himself, God, Emmanuel, becomes so weak that he submitted himself to the death and to the grave and his soul to hell. Weakness. But out of that complete surrender came forth on the Easter morning, winding its way from the lowest. He was the highest and became the lowest. How did he conquer death? Not in great strength, not in great power, but Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, in weakness. You know how you're going to overcome Laodicea? Out of your weakness. You say, Brother Donnie, I don't understand. Why is it so complicated? It's you submitting everything you are to him and letting him pour himself in you, and you doing it. Come on, children. I think this is why sometimes God lets our lives get shook up a little bit and we get shook out of our comfort zone. It happens with individuals. It happens with family. It happens with churches. It happens in a move. Well, this message folks have been in this kind of thing for a long time. And God's let some things come among us as message people and kind of shake us up a little bit. We needed to be shook up. We need to realize we are not like the rest of the world. We don't want a king to rule over us. We want God to be our king. And we need to realize we cannot come here and assemble ourselves 2 or 3 times a week and make this great economy of God work. It takes him inside of us or we'll never accomplish it. Oh my. Notice in Romans chapter 8 verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. For sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So this is the design and the objective of the incarnation, is that sin might be annihilated. Where? In the flesh. Whose flesh? The flesh of God. This is why you can overcome today. Glory to God. Notice this. Paul says in verse 4 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind. Do mind. Now this is not phroneo, but this is phroneusen. Mind. It does not mean that it is the intellect, but it is the attention or occupation of the being caused by its natural disposition. So those who walk after the flesh mind by the natural disposition of the flesh, they mind the flesh. But those who are after the Spirit mind the natural ability given to them by the Spirit. They mind the things of the Spirit. You and I both know of carnal Christians that are as carnal as they can be. They can never quit sinning. They can never rise above things. I feel sorry for them. They never live an overcoming life. They're in and out and up and down. They're not faithful to God. They're not faithful to prayer. They're not faithful to church. It's sad. It's so sad. Alexander the Great come in a great battle one day, and he come upon riding upon the rear, and he come up and he saw a man not performing very well in battle. And he comes up to this man and said, "Soldier." He said, "Yes, sir. What is your name?" He said, "My name, sir, is Alexander." He said, "Then I command you, start fighting like a soldier or change your name." What are we, sons and daughters of God? Then as your pastor, I give you a charge before God. Fight like sons and daughters of God, or get out of the way. Fight like sons and daughters of God who are redeemed, who are filled with the Holy Ghost, who are more than conquerors. I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God. And if you are, don't let Christ come up in the back of the battle and say, who are you? Oh, my name's Christian. What if you're a Christian? Start fighting like one. Amen. I'm not talking about fighting one another. I'm talking about fighting your greatest enemy, which is yourself. Oh my. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit do mind the things. They follow, they obey. It's a pattern of the inward life. The things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Boy, one of these days I'm going to bring my... Forget it. Amen. You'll never bring your body to a new birth until you're changed. The carnal mind cannot be subject. And when we use our will, we use our will to try to make ourselves subject. Don't you see what Satan's doing? Satan is convincing you to use one of the worst things you could use. Your carnal mind. Well, I'm in the message. I'm going to quit this and I'm going to quit that and I'm going to do something else and I'm going to quit this and I'm going to quit that. God says, don't you quit it. Let me take it. No, 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 no. I'm going to do this myself. Stand back, Lord. Come on, devil. Brother Ben talks about a man. He said, I'm looking at him this morning. He said, I was telling him that not long ago, down beside a manger stall, a manger and a stall in a barn. And he was telling me, Brother Branham, if I could only get good enough, if I could lay aside these cigarettes. Brother Branham said, that's you. You're trying to do that. He said, well, if I could only get good enough, he said, you'll never get good enough. You can't and I can't, nobody else can. He said, well, what do I have to do? He said, I said, nothing. He said, well, I can do that then. But he said, but if I could get, he said, there you go, right back to them cigarettes. He said, let God do something for you and them cigarettes will go. He said, I saw a vision. I saw a tree broke almost in half. He said, that man fell and it broke his back. Was in the hospital. He said, he went ahead and baptized him. Now, hang on tight now. Brother Bram went ahead and baptized this man while he's still smoking cigarettes. Dear God. Now, he said, I know some of his family here felt hard at me for doing that, but I knew what I was doing. Now he sees the vision, he goes up to the hospital, and the man's in the hospital, and he said, he's wanting to smoke. Brother Branham said, I'll buy him a whole carton. Lord, children, I'm sorry y'all didn't know this is in the message. Y'all need to spend more time in the message. He said, because I knew his smoking days was over.
Glory.
But you see, it was so simple, the man couldn't let go. Oh, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. But he said, let them cigarettes go, let God do it. But what he was wanting to do himself, if I can do this, bless God, if I can do that, and as long as you're holding on to it, you'll never go any farther than God. Oh, my. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Lord, have mercy. So does that mean all of us is basically hopeless? How many are still in the flesh this morning? Lord have mercy. Now I'm going to come down here and shake some of y'all's hands that didn't raise them. Now I want to see what kind of body y'all in. Man alive. Sure, we're in the body. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not in the flesh. Because being in the flesh, and the way that Paul is phrasing it, is that the body is what controls you. Amen. Which says ain't the way it is if you got the Holy Ghost. You control the body. Why? Because the body in its neutrality to submits to the basilio, the king, which is on the throne of your heart. So as I take this screw out, now I've decided I want to put it back in. Okay, now I've got it in there about four rounds. I think I'm going to change tools. How can they hear without a preacher, and how can he preach unless he be sent? Amen. Wrong two. Let me try this. This makes beautiful music. I'm ruining that pick. You think of that. I'm ruining that pick. I'm trying to use that pick for a screwdriver. God called preachers to preach, not push play. Brother Branham did say what the tapes say, not play what the tapes play. So you put the right tool in for the right application, and what can you do? You can stand pretty much there and let it go right down, tighten it real snug. Now it's like it was before Brother Michael worked on it last. Oh, when it came from the JBL factory. Why? Because this was designed for such a purpose. You were designed for God to live in. You were designed for God to reflect His life in. You were designed as the screwdriver to submit yourself into the hands of the only one that knows how to turn you right. Face it, friends, we don't know how to turn ourselves. We don't know how to make ourselves to be godly. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. Some of the folks in Paul's day must look at him. Well, y'all look at me sometimes. You're just thinking, poor guy, my steadiness drove him mad. Every one of them saints down there, some, well, I'm in the flesh. And Paul said, no, you ain't. You just think you are. Cuckleweed. Notice this. Brother Bam says in Christianity versus idolatry, we are in His image. We in His image, a living image of a living God. What does you, when you surrender yourself to God and God comes into you, what does it make you? A living image of God. Not a dead statue set in a corner, not a denomination up in the headquarters in Washington, in the Confederation of Churches, oh no. But that's a dead statue and a dead creed, but a living image, an individual. I love this sermon. If you haven't listened to it a while, you should do it. Paul, a prisoner. Oh, tonight, if we as the Branham Tabernacle could only become prisoners to our own selfish being. To our own ambition. That we could completely surrender ourselves as a screwdriver with no brain. This screwdriver right here could have wound up in the toolbox of a guy that works at some plant somewhere. It could have wound up in the do-it-yourself basement of a lawyer in New York. If he uses these kind of tools. But instead, this screwdriver was honored to wound up at Lowe's. And I walked in there and bought it. This screwdriver has been given one of the highest honors any screwdriver has ever had. It's been used as an example. Its image has went around the world today. People all over the world will never look at a screwdriver again the same. Because this humble orange handle screwdriver, This humble orange handle screwdriver has submitted itself to me. The designers in China never, ever, ever thought it would be carried to the pulpit. The people at Lowe's never thought it would ever be carried to the pulpit. I never thought it would ever be carried to the pulpit. So just a few minutes before I came out, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, gather up some tools. Gather up some tools. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, if the Lord God could gather up some tools this morning. You poor little ugly orange handle screwdriver. Do you know your image is now in New Zealand, Australia, England, Norway, Ghana, Nigeria? Your poor little humble image is all over the world. May I say to you, you poor, lost, unregenerate people, as you were, God has saved you, filled you with His presence, and raised your image beyond the image of a screwdriver, but has posted you in Hebrews chapter 11 in the gallery of the overcomers. Hallelujah to God. How? Because we're so great, and because we have so many abilities, because we have learned to accept what He done. Not only what He saved us, but we're still learning today. I hope we are. We're still learning today how to become an instrument. Amen. Give me just a few more minutes. I'll close. A man has got to surrender every ambition. He's got everything he is. Everything. His soul, life, body, will, ambitions, and everything. And become a complete prisoner to Christ. Amen. Who is the Word to serve God. You might walk, have to walk contrary in your better judgment. The Spirit of God will lead you to do things and say things that's contrary to your better judgment. Believe me, I know that to be sure. Many, many times I have felt led to preach and say certain things. It was totally against my better judgment to do it. And I knew I was fixing to cause trouble. So what do I do? I become the screwdriver? Or do I become a message screwdriver? God, you ain't using me for that. Now you know if you take me in your hand and you go to cranking down that pressure and tighten it up, you know folks are going to get mad. I ain't doing it. Let some other preacher. I refuse. But I want to be as dumb and submissive as Mr. Orange Handle. My new favorite color. Oh, children. You housewives that struggle. You husbands, you farmers. Whatever your vocation is. Even struggling being what you are, you young people. If you can only be like this. To submit yourself into the hands of Him that knows who you belong. Well, I want to become this, and I'm going to school to become that, become that. Who said you had a right to do that? Your life belongs to God. Pray. Well, I want this woman. I want that man. Pray over your mate. Pray over your vocation. Paragraph 196, Heavenly Father, as the song continues to play, I thought it most profitable at this time that I'd break in on the song and talk to you just a moment. As the people are thinking, I surrender all. Father, may we do this with like this as our last opportunity to do it. Let us come with sincerity. Come unto the table of the Lord as it was with washed garments, washed souls, washed wills, washed ambitions to surrender ourselves. Washed goals, washed wills, washed ambitions. What had happened, Brother Dave? Sitting right there when God was taking a prophetic instrument and tightening down some of the spots in their life. That's why sometimes, friend, boy, you say, man alive, Brother Donnie, burnt me up, Lord, what in the world was going on? Some loose spots in your life. God took me in his hand, and I mean, Lord, toward the pressure on you, thinking, Lord, have mercy. Just remember, the pressure ain't on the head, only the screw. It's on the end of the screwdriver as well. You better believe every man of God, truly led of the Holy Ghost, he feels pressure just like you do. Oh, my. You've got to surrender soul, body, spirit, strength, everything you are to the will of God and become a prisoner to him. You're going to be somebody's prisoner. You don't belong to yourself. You're somebody's prisoner. Friends, the people of this day, they belong to somebody. Aren't you glad you belong to the Lord? You, like this screwdriver, this morning could be sent to some denominational church and your name on the roll, sitting there believing in three gods, baptizing titles, dressed like a Jezebel, looking like the world, acting like the world, talking like the world. But God in his grace, God in his grace, got a hold to you and let you gather together here this morning with a bunch of other screwdrivers and picks and whatever more. Does it really matter what we are? Does it really matter whether we're a screwdriver or a key or a pen or a handkerchief or a guitar pick or a piece of paper or a lid on the top of a Gatorade bottle? As long as we're in his economy. Oh, God. God. Let's bow our heads together. Praise God. How many wants to be just an instrument that God can use? Just like your will and your great gifts and your great abilities and things that you have and I think and I believe, and just lay that on the altar. But brother, you're trying to take everything from me. I'm not trying to take one thing from you. I'm just trying to make you conscious that God wants to take from us, not just from you, from us, those things which will get in our way. The more we can empty ourselves out, the more room we make for him and his gifts. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we love you today, Father. How many like to be remembered today before the Lord? Would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Now I want you to raise your head. Look at me just a moment before we pray. Brother Eric, Brother Daniel, I'm sorry. Jump down to calling Jesus on the scene, paragraph 101. I'll skip about four or five scriptures there. Now let us remember, he also created our bodies, and when our bodies have to obey him, amen. You surrender your thoughts to him, surrender your life to him, surrender your faith to him, and watch that body obey what he says. If you're a drunkard and you can't quit drinking, surrender that to him and watch, you'll drink no more. If you are a habitual smoker and tried to give it up and can't do it, just surrender that to him and watch what happens. He'll make that body come back in subjection to the word. Yes, sir. But you've got to surrender it to him. You've got to believe him. He made our bodies and they will obey him also. Do you believe that? The congregation says. Amen. If you're a Christian, you have to. You say he makes our bodies obey. Oh, I believe we have jurisdiction over that. Then you're not fully surrendered. For you're not your own. You are dead. You yourself are dead and your life is hid in God through Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost. So the conquest lays before us and the acquisition of the ultimate victory is so simple that if we are truly born again, we do not take our will and subject our flesh to our will. I'm making you do this. I'm telling you, you are going to quit this stuff. I make up my own, never smoke. Give that strong part of you, which is keeping your deliverance away from you, to God. And just tell God, this smoking's bigger than me, God. This pornography or marijuana or talking, lying, gossiping. I spend too much time on Facebook instead of seeing my face in the book. Praise the Lord. Friends, we're in an addictive age. We preach on addiction, and I think we should. But I'm going to tell you one thing. There's as many or more folks addicted to their cell phone as they are pills in this message. They're addicted to Facebook, every ting and ring and ding. They know whatever one of them means. This is text, this is email, this is this, and this is Twitter, and this is tweet, and this is that. Are we birds or are we eagles? Well, the message, folks, the only thing they know is tweets. Tweet, 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 ain't going to get you out of here. It's the squall of the eagle that's going to get you out of here. People can hear the tweet, and they can hear the call of their Facebook, and they sit there and make fun of a preacher. It's not he that hath an ear to hear his tweet, but he that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. They're the overcomers in this life. Have I made sense to you today? Have I been able to bring a point to you? Whatever God desires to use you for. Whatever God wants you to be. Whether it's forged in a great heating furnace, which you need great endurance. Now, any of you brothers here that knows anything about tools know this is not a great tool. This is not a great tool, Brother Phil. It ain't something that you'd want to use on your job. Your brothers, you mechanics, you wouldn't want one like that. First time you crank down on it. But it's very suitable for a guy like me. I don't need to pay $15 for a screwdriver. I could buy 15 for that. Right? Why? Application. Application. Those of you that try to interpret the word and you get on Facebook and this and that and the other, that's not who you are. You try to handle the word and put scriptures together. Friends, I'm telling you, you better leave that alone. You're siding up with people on this Facebook junk, and if you only knew the background of what they're writing, some of them's blasting preaching they heard the night before, and you're liking it. You better watch yourself. You don't know why they're saying what they're saying. You better be careful what you're amening. Why don't you just be what God's made you? Now I realize this would be the laughing stock of the Sears auto mechanics. Brother Nathaniel Holmes, whenever he did some sheetrock work for me, working for Brother Jim Maxwell, I used to aggravate the fire at him because he had a purple extension cord. Sister Sue, please don't tell him I mentioned him today. I aggravated him to death. Even to this day, nearly every time I see him, I ask him if I can borrow that extension cord. But now to him, it was very suited because him and Brother Jim worked in a lot of sheetrock dust. So they'd sand and sand and sand, and their cords would be hid. Except for that purple one. It was designed with that in mind. You brothers ever run over a green extension cord laying in your green grass? So what do you want? One that stands out. So God made me a purple preacher, I reckon. God made some of you all purple Christians. You don't, you know, just blend in like everybody else. But after all, Brother Dale, don't we want to be what he wants us to be? If God can help each of us here today that we leave this place and we are even more willing, if nothing else, if you just see the point I've made, a great deal has been accomplished. But if you see the point and you are willing to submit, miracles will happen after this service. And there will be miracles in you, in me. Let's stand together. If you folks ever get tired of a purple preacher, an orange-handled screwdriver preacher, I understand. I'm odd, and the Lord deals with me in odd ways, but it's the only way I know to be is just be the way that God has made me. I don't want to try to be like somebody else. I just want to be, you know, what God has made me to be, and that surrender to Him, not rely on my own abilities. How many of you today would say, with me, I've not preached this to you, I've preached this to us. I want to be more surrendered than I've ever been in my life.
And I was a little boy, 17 years old, and I got to feeling so strange and so burdened in my heart, and I went to praying, God, what is it? Me and Caroline had been married too awful long. God, what is it? I don't understand. Why do I feel like this way? God, what do you want me to do? Every time I'd ask him, his voice would come back. Preach my word. No, Lord, I can't do that. I'm not a preacher, God. I can't do it. I kept arguing with God and arguing with God. And then I'd get to a place, Brother John, I wouldn't ask him no more. I'd go pray. Oh, I'd still pray, still ask him for things and still love him and worship him. But I'd quit asking him what he wanted me to do. Of course, you can't outsmart God. Even when I got to where I wouldn't even ask him, he'd tell me anyhow. No doubt he's dealt with you in similar ways. He was out there drinking, running around, doing whatever more, trying to be happy being a sinner. But that seed was in you. You'd never be happy. That seed in you wouldn't let you go. Aren't you glad? Many of you have been saved for decades. For decades. You've had ups and downs in your walk with God and went through many, many things. But aren't you glad God is still dealing with you and you have a heart that God can deal with? That you can say, Lord, I was spoken to today. Let's just bow our heads together. We're going to pray. I just wonder, before we do pray, if you'd like to raise your hand to God. You want to be remembered. Certainly both of mine are up. Lord, first of all, I ask you to forgive me, Father. I'm sure I've not been a very good screwdriver at times. A very good guitar pick. A very good ink pen, handkerchief, whatever more. Lord, I've tried to kick against what you wanted me to do, and you've laid on my heart to say things and preach things, and I've fought against you. I'm sorry. I've asked and begged you not to make me preach certain things, because I knew it'd be awful. Forgive me. I was acting like a screwdriver with a brain, instead of an instrument that does not know what it needs. Forgive me, Lord. You saw that there were hundreds of hands that were uplifted here this morning. I believe that there'll be hundreds around the world, as many will stream the service and many that'll go back and archive it. Wherever they are, Lord, I pray you'd speak to your children. Each one of us, whether we're singers, musicians, or preachers, or janitors, or housewives, whatever we are, Lord, help these housewives to realize they can't really even be the proper kind of housewife unless they submit to you. Or they might be a good mother, they might clean the house, they might do this and that and the other, but they will never be able to be exactly what you want them to be on their own natural traits. Their mothers may have taught them and they may have raised them in the right way. It's just the way the plan of God is designed. If we could do it without your help, then we would just need you occasionally. But you don't want us to live that way. You want us to need you every day. Every hour. It's the way you designed us as your people. That we can't even walk without you holding our hands. We can't breathe. If you were to shut off one element of our oxygen, we would all die in a few moments. If the sun were to hide its face, our earth would go into total chaos. We couldn't live a week without you, a day without you. Lord, if I'm nothing but just a little tiny, tiny something, one of the tiniest, smallest tools that there are, Lord God, help me to be submissive. For really the same man who made the big screwdriver made this little bitty black guy who controls the output on this body pack. The same human intelligence, Lord. How much greater is your divine intelligence? I'll never be able to preach like Brother Tim, Brother Ron, Brother Mike, Brother Biskel, or whoever more that these folks' favorite preacher is. I'm not the preacher that many are. If you want to make me orange handled or purple or whatever more, Lord, just help me to be what you want, Father. I love you, Jesus. We worship you today, Lord. Can you just raise your hands now as a sign of surrender? If you've been trying to overcome cigarettes and you can't do it, or drinking, or lying, or whatever more. Now remember, I'm just not preaching to this congregation this morning. I'm preaching around the world as I say this.
You say, well, ain't nobody here in our church doing that. You're exactly true. There may not be. But it don't mean there ain't somebody out on the internet. But whatever you need, whatever you're fighting. Are you a screwdriver with a will, with an intelligence, with a brain? And God wants to use you for this or that, but you don't want Him to. Are you willing to surrender? Praise God. Oh, Happy Valley. I believe we're closer now than we've ever been. Preachers, men of God, deacons, trustees, all of us here in the church. Let's surrender more today. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship You, Father. Lord God, thank You for Your word today. I thank You for this, Lord. I must say I'm astounded, Lord, in the way You had me to bring it, because it was so different than what I thought. I didn't hardly get nowhere in the scriptures and quotes that I brought. Thought about those parts about the tools, the screwdriver. Thank You, Lord. I thank You. Because I could see by their faces, it spoke to their hearts. We love You today, Jesus. Take us in Your hands. Lord, take me in Your hands. Take these people in Your hands. Help us, Lord, to be what You want us to be. We worship You, Lord Jesus. Sing it, Harry, while we just worship the Lord together. Praise be to God. Housewives, Sunday school teachers, your brothers that are businessmen, that are farmers, insurance salesmen, finance people, whatever you do, can we be able to surrender all we are today? Or you say, Brother Donnie, you mean God don't want anything that I've got? Oh, yes, He wants everything that you have. He wants everything that you have surrendered to Him. And then anything that is carnal and vain, He'll get rid of that and give you something that is divine and beautiful. You're going to be fully equipped. Don't worry. It's not like that He's taking this from you and you're going to be basically stripped there with nothing on. Oh, no, He's going to give you a whole lot more than what you ever had in the first place. And what He gives you back will be better than what Daddy gave you. My daddy gave me a lot of things, and my mama gave me a lot of things, and a lot of things they gave me are good, but there's a lot of things I got from my family that wasn't no count. As a matter of fact, it's been the things that's bothered me most of my life, just like all the rest of you. But everything that I can give over to Him, He'll give me something back in its place. Do you understand your ability to be saved started with the gift of God? That God gave you the faith to accept Him. Got the quote laying right in front of me. God gave you your initial burst of faith. That's how you accepted Him. What is a believer? The faith of God. He started you on your journey. He's the one who gave you faith, gave you trust, gave you revelation, gave you confidence. And it'll be Him that completes this journey in us. Let's sing together. I surrender all, shall we? Ponder your heart now. Ponder your heart. Go ahead.
Jesus,
Lord,
surrender.
What can I be, Lord? A pen? A key? A tool? An instrument? Yes, Lord. I'll trust You, Lord.
In His presence.
Oh, God.
Daily.
I'll daily live.
I surrender.
I give it all. Sing it again with all your heart.
Oh, I surrender all.
Lord, I give You.
Oh, I surrender all.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing it again with all of our hearts. Everybody, eyes closed, hands raised. They're flying out. Maybe some kind of rough weather down through Georgia, Florida, and all that today. I'd like for us to just pray for them before we go. Anybody else have a need you'd like to signify by the raising of your hand before the saints of God? Heavenly Father, we come to the close of this service. We feel this awe that's around us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can still be awed by your presence. Father, I want to offer prayer, Lord, for Brother Darrell and Brother David and Brother Danny as they're flying today. Lord, you see the weather down south. It's been kind of inclement, Father. Some tornadoes down through Georgia and Mississippi, and given some severe possibilities today. We pray you'd watch over our brothers, Lord. Give them safe flights, Father. We ask you, dear God, that you'd take them there to the meeting place and that you'd be with them, Lord. That they'd be able to surrender themselves to you, Father. Pray that you'd be with the young people that's coming, the other ministries, and all that's involved. May there be a great report as they come back to share the things that you've done. Lord, also you saw the uplifted hands of your children to signify a need or request in their hearts. I pray that you'd grant that to them, Lord, according to your will. We love you, Father. Thank you for the service today. Thank you for your word. I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. Go with us now, Lord, we ask. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too
God bless you, saints. See you Wednesday night. You're dismissed.
But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh, Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high. without you holding my hand. I think I'll make Jesus my one.